Okay, we're holding on daf Kuf Nun Aleph, or the bottom of Kuf Mem Tet Amud Bet. Sorry, Kuf Nun Amud Bet. Klal Amar Abba Shaul. Right, so talking about the general rule, Abba Shaul says Kol She'ani. Rabbi Shmuel basically says, Abba Shaul basically says that anything that you are allowed to discuss, to talk about on Shabbat, you're allowed to go towards the end of Shabbat, to the edge of the Shabbat Tchum, so that you can take care of it immediately after Shabbat. Or if it's appropriate to talk about it, it's appropriate to be considering it, to be taking care of it already on Shabbat itself. Ibailahu, right, we're gonna raise an issue. Abba Shaul Ahaya, Ilema Areshakai, Ein Machshichin Alatchum, Liskor Polim, Lahavi Peirod. Hi, Koshin is a Kaiba Mirito, Rashayani Mito, Rashayani Be Chashichato. Rekosha Ein is a Kaiba Mirito, any Rashayani Chashito Mibaile. Okay, so what do we just say there? We're asking what part of this, of the Mishnah, is Abba Shaul commenting on? Because his wording seems a little bit strange. Let's say he's commenting on the ratio, right? Let's say he's commenting on the beginning of the Mishnah, right? So that which he says, anything that I'm allowed to talk about, I'm allowed to be machshich alatchum for. But what it should have said is, anything that I am not allowed to talk about, I am not allowed to be machshich alatchum for, right? Because the beginning of the Mishnah talks about things that you're not allowed to do. So why would Abba Shaul, who's coming at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Mishnah's talking about you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, and Abba Shaul's like, okay, let me teach you the general rule. Everything that you can do, no, you said everything that you can't do, that's how the Mishnah was going. Ela asefakai. So he must be talking about the seifa. Aval machshich hu lishmor umevi perot biyad. You're allowed to do machshich alatchum in order to guard fruit outside or to bring the fruit in. Hai kol she'ani zakai bechashichato, rashai ani be'amirato mibayle. But the Mishnah teaches you what you're allowed to be machshich for. So why is Abba Shaul saying, anything I'm allowed to discuss, I can be machshich for? Right? The Mishnah is teaching you that you're allowed to be machshich for it. How do you know that you're allowed to discuss that? Abba Shaul should have said that anything that you're allowed to be machshich for, because the Mishnah teaches you what you're allowed to be machshich for, here's something interesting, you're allowed to discuss that thing on Shabbat, right? But it doesn't help, you shouldn't start with what you're allowed to speak about. You don't know that you're allowed to speak about that yet. You only know that you're allowed to be machshich for that, right? So either way, when he's talking about the ratio of the seifa, it seems like his wording is interesting, that he's talking about, first he mentions what you're allowed to speak about, as if I already know what I'm allowed to speak about, and from there he learns what I'm allowed to be machshich for, and he speaks about in the positive what you're allowed to do, as opposed to the negative, what you're not allowed to do. So it doesn't seem like he's talking about the ratio, it doesn't seem like he's talking about the seifa. Le'olam ha-seifa kai. No, really he is talking about the seifa. Va'abo shol, aha, ka. Aha, Kai, the Amar Yuda, Amar Shmuel, Mudar Adam Lomar Lachavirish, Morley Perot, which is with Chumchav, and Yesh Morlecha Perot, which is with Chumi. He is talking about the Seifa, and he's commenting, and he holds by what Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, that is, a person is allowed to say, you guard my perot in your tchum, and I'll guard your perot in my tchum, and since we know that you're allowed to speak about it, then you're allowed to be machshich for it. V'kama Rav Shaul, tana kama, mi lo modit demutar adam lomar l'chaveru shmur li perot v'shmitchumcha, v'ani shmur l'cha perot v'shmitchumi, right? So Rav Shaul says to the tana kama, do you not agree that it is permissible to say to someone, guard my parrot in your field, and I'll guard your parrot in my field. In which case, if Abba Shaul is under the impression that it's perfectly allowed to say such a thing, and then he teaches the general rule that anything you're allowed to talk about, you're allowed to be machshich for, now we understand the wording of his general rule. Okay, but still I have an issue. Why klal? Why would Abba Shaul teach zeh klal? This is the rule. Just teach me that anything that you know you're allowed to talk about, you're allowed to be machshich for. That simple. Why I klal? What's klal coming to include? Right? Teach you that which the rabbis teach you, that you're allowed to be machshich for the tchum in order to bring in an animal from outside the tchum. However, if you're standing outside the tchum, you're allowed to call to the animal to come to you, right? Klal Amar Abba Shaul Kol Shani Zakai B'Amirato or Rashani Lachshich Alav. So Abba Shaul says, no, that's not. Abba Shaul says that no, if I'm allowed to talk about it, I'm allowed to be machshich for it, right? If I'm allowed to talk about it, if I'm allowed to bring it up, I'm allowed to speak about it, then I can be machshich for it. There's no discrepancy between you're not allowed to be machshich for this, but you're allowed to talk about it. Umachshich and the fakech al iske kalav al iske hamet lahavilo aron v'tachrichin, and you're allowed to be machshich al tchum in order to take care of the needs for a bride or for a mate, like to bring him a coffin or to bring him rags. Omrim lo lich makom ploni v'im lo matzata b'makom ploni have makom ploni. And you're allowed to say, go bring me these things from this place, and you don't find it there, go bring them to that place. Lo matzah b'maneh have him matayim. If you can't find them for a money for this price, have him matayim, right? So then go with a different price. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer v'vachloy askiros chum mikach. Right, as long as you don't explicitly mention the money used in the transaction, you're allowed to speak about these things. And since you're allowed to speak about them, you're allowed to be machshit for them as well, according to Avishal. Matanitin machshichin al tchum lefekech l'iskei kala val iskei amed lavi lo aran tachrichin. Okay, now in first Mishnah, that teaches us that you're allowed to be machshich al tchum for the needs of a bride or for the needs of a deceased, right? Like for the coffin or for the rags. Goy shevichal l'mishabat lo yaspud behem b'Yisrael. So if a non-Jew brought flutes on Shabbat, they would play flutes to eulogize, to mourn someone. So if a non-Jew brought in those flutes, you should not use them to do a eulogy for a Yisrael, because they brought it in on Shabbat. Elaim kein ba'um makom karov, unless they came from a very close by place, right, where you could assume they weren't mechal Shabbat in order to get them there, because it would be bizayon for the mate to, if they were mechal Shabbat in order for your eulogy. Asulo aron mechafrulo kever, yikaver ba'um Yisrael, right, if a goy made a coffin, right? Not for you know, anyone in particular, just made a coffin, or they dug a grave, then you're allowed to put Yisrael, deceased Yisrael, in that coffin or in that grave. The Mishvili Yisrael, lo yikaver ba'olamid, right? But if he did it on behalf of the Jew, then you should never be buried in it, so it shouldn't look like you asked him to do these things on Shabbat on behalf of the Jew. Gemara, my makom karov, what do we mean he came from a close by place? How do we define that? Rav amar me makom karov, mashmul amar chashin eshe mechutz lechom elanu, right? So Rav says it has to be really close, meaning it has to be within your Tchum Shabbat. He comes within your Tchum Shabbat, then you're allowed to use what he brings. And Shmuel says, no, even if he's outside, it has to be within your walled-off community, so to speak. And if he comes from outside, then it's a problem. Shmuel says, no, even if he comes from outside the walled-off community, we can assume that maybe he came from immediately outside the wall and still within your Tchum Shabbat. We don't know. And because it's a suffix, we're allowed to use what he brings, as long as he's coming from a relatively close place. Daika matnitin kavatei de Shmuel. Right? You can be medayik in our Mishnah, an inference that would make it sound like we paskin, or that would make it sound like Shmuel Shita. What is that inference? The Katani, Asalo Aron, the Chafarlo Kever. If you made a coffin or you dug a grave, you cover bo Yisrael, right? Then you can bury Yisrael in it. Alma misfika shari, achanam misfika shari, right? So what do we teach? We didn't say he made it for the Yisrael, but we also didn't say he made it for the non-Jew. He made it. Someone made a kever. Someone made an aron. In those cases, you're allowed to bury Yisrael in it. But that's a suffix. We don't know who he made it for. Maybe he made it for a Jew. Maybe he made it for a non-Jew. If he made it for a Jew, you're never allowed to bury him in it. Oh, but this one's a suffix, and we're makil. Similarly, so because of that, it would stand to reason by Shmuel that if someone comes from outside your wall, it's a suffix as to whether he came from outside the tchum or not. Still, you can be makel because it's a suffix. Only if you're sure that he came from far away, it's going to be a problem. Just like only if you're sure that it was made for a Jew, it's going to be a problem. But we also have a braita that accords with Rav's shita. Right, but we taught in a braita, we've seen this braita a couple times. If you have a city that has both Jews and non-Jews, if there's a bathhouse in it. If there's a bathhouse that's heated up on Shabbat, if mostly non-Jews are there, then you can assume the bathhouse is heated for the non-Jews. And so, immediately after Shabbat, you're allowed to go bathe in it, because it wasn't heated up for a Jew. But however, if it's Rov Yisrael, if mostly Jews live there, then if the bathhouse is heated up on Shabbat, you can assume that they heated up with the Jews in mind. Right? So you have to wait the amount of time after Shabbat that it would have taken to heat up the bathhouse. Mechzal mechza asur, v'yamdin ad g'day shechum uchamin. Right? And if it's exactly half and half, it's gonna be asur, right? And you have to wait the amount of time it was gonna take to heat up the hot water. So here we see that in a case of suffix, because it's half and half Jews and non-Jews, so maybe made it for the Jews, maybe heated it for the Jews, maybe heated it for the non-Jews, still you have to be machmir, right? That sounds like Rav's Shita, that even if you have a suffix of whether he came from outside the Tchum, you gotta be machmir, not like Shmuel Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ba'am batiktana, im yesh ba'ar reshut, rochetz ba'miyad. And if it's a very small bath, and then if there is a governing body over the area, then you're allowed to bathe in it. Okay, what does that mean? My reshut, what does it mean a governing body is over there? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yitzchak Breda. Right, so if they have a chash of a person, a very important person, he has 10 slaves and they all heat up for him 10 urns and then fill up a bathtub with it, right? A small bathtub, then you're allowed to bathe in it immediately, because you can assume that because it's so small, it could have been heated up right after Shabbat. A full bathhouse, you know, if it's hot after Shabbat, then it was heated up on Shabbat itself. But a small bath that you can have an Adam Chashuv who has 10 people working for him who all could have done it, how long does it heat up one urn? If you have one person doing it, you have one slave, you have one person doing it, so then maybe it takes a while because one person has to do it 10 times. You have 10 people working on it because it's an Adam Chashuv, then it's very likely that they only started after Shabbat and you'd be allowed to bathe in it. Asul Aron, v'chafru lo kever. They made for him a coffin or they dug a grave. Why can you be buried in the grave or the aron? You should wait the amount of time it would take to dig a grave or to make an aron. Amar ula be omed be asartia. Right? So we're talking about when it's in the street, right? We're not knowing, we generally don't bury non-Jews in public areas. We have Jewish cemeteries. So if it was made in a public street, then we can assume that it was made for a non-Jew. If it's made for a non-Jew, you're allowed to use it immediately. Tinach kever, aron ma'ik lememar. Yeah, that works for a grave that's dug there, but that's not, what do you have to say about an aron? If you have a coffin, how does that help you? The coffin being found in the middle of the street has nothing to do with Jewish, non-Jewish. Amar be'avao kemutal al-kivro, bemutal al-kivro. Right. No, when the coffin is next to a grave designated for a non-Jew, that's a coffin that you're allowed to use right after Shabbat, because you can assume that it's made for a non-Jew. Matnitin, new Mishnah, Osin Kol Tzarkei HaMeit. You're allowed to take care of anything that the mate needs. Sachin Vadin Chanato. You're allowed to anoint and rinse him. Bilvad Shelo Yaziz Bo'ever. We can't move around his limbs. Shomtin Etakar Mitachtav. Matilanato Alchol B'Shvil Shiyamtin. Right? And you're allowed to take out the pillow from underneath him and put him on the on sand, so that because putting him on sand kind of slows down his body from decomposing. Koshrin etalechi lo shiale ele shelo yosif, right? And you can lock his jaw in place, not so you lift it back up to its normal place, but so that it does not further go down. V'chein koresh nishbara somchino tabasafsal. Oh, barukot amita loshtale elishtosif. Right, and in a similar vein, you may support a broken bench. Or sorry, if you have a beam that breaks on Shabbat, you're allowed to support the area with a bench or with the straps of a bed, not so that you can lift the beam back up into place, but just so that it doesn't fall any further. Gemara v'amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Maaseh B'talmidei Rosh Rabbi Meir Sheh Nichnas Acharav L'Beit Amir Chatz Pikei Shladiach Karka Amar Lo En Madichin Lasuch Karka Amar Lo En Sachin. But don't we have the case of Rabbi Meir's student who goes after him into the bathhouse and he wants to wash and anoint the ground? Rabbi Meir doesn't let him do either of those things. Clearly washing and anointing is Asher on Shabbat. Yeah, you can't do it for the ground, because if you do it for the ground in the bathhouse, you may come to get confused and do it in the ground outside the bathhouse, which is usher. But if you do it for a mate, right, you get confused. I'm doing it for the ground. You get confused. Maybe I'm allowed to do it for the ground outside the bathhouse. If you do it for a mate, you're going to be like, oh, well, if I can do it for a mate, then I can also do it for the ground. Those two things are not going to get confused. Kol latuye mai. And what do we mean when we say kol tzarkei ha-meit? Latuye haratam rabbanan. To include that which the rabbis taught, mavin kli meikar, kli matachor, manichan al kreis, kidei shelo tafuach, right? That you're allowed to bring metal or cold vessels and put it on his stomach so that it doesn't swell up. And you can plug up his orifices so that wind doesn't get inside. And even Shlomo mentioned when it comes to the taking care, or when it comes to death and what happens around death, the following things are likely to happen around death. Right? So Shlomo says, Shlomo mentioned that when you die, something happens that is tantamount to yiratik chevel hakesef, right? A silver rope being snapped. That is a reference to the spinal cord, which is going to break after death, right? And the tarut gulat hazahav za'ama, right? And he also references the golden bowl, which is broken, and that is a reference to the male private part. V'tishaver kad al ha'mabua. Ze ha karis, right? And a pitcher being broken in a fountain, that is his stomach. Vinarot ha-galgal alabor ze perish. And when he references the wheel that falls and breaks into a pit, that is him soiling himself afterward. V'chein hu omer v'zeiriti perish al panechem perish chagechem, right? And similarly, another reference to excrement using the similar words says that excrement will be on your faces, even from the Chagim. Amar Rav Huna, v'amri la, Amar Rav Chaga, elu b'nei adam shemanichin divrei Torah osin kol yimeihen kechagim. What does it mean that the excrement from the Chagim is going to be on your faces? Those are the people who treat every day like it's a holiday, and they don't engage in normal life. They only celebrate, and they don't engage in serious things. Amar Rav Levi, Amar Rav Papi. We only brought that in to show you the references of the words of. Show the reference of the words of excrement which we brought in earlier by a deceased person. Elu bnei adam the osin kol yimeihem kechagim. Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Rabbi Papi, Amar Rabbi Oshia, lachar shlosha yamim kareso nivkat v'nofelet lo alpanav. After 30 days, a person's stomach, it pops, it bursts, and gets on his face. Ve'omeret lo tuul mashnatat bi, and basically says to his face, take back what you put in me. That's the stomach says it's in the mouth, basically. Matniti in new mishnah ein ma'atzmin et hamet b'shabbat v'lo mecholim yitzia hanefesh v'ma'atzim yitzia hanefesh harei zeh shofech damim. Right, you can't shut the eyes of a deceased person on Shabbat, and if it's on a weekday, you can't do it while he's still dying. It has to be clearly after he dies, because if you shut the eyes of a person while they're still in the process of dying, you're speeding up his dying process, and it's like you killed him. Tan Rabbanan ha'ma'atzmo yitzia hanefesh harei zeh shofech damim. Right, the rabbis taught that if you close someone's eyes while he's in the process of dying, it's like he spilled his blood. Right? It's similar to a candle that is going out, and you put your finger on it, and then it immediately extinguished, right? So you, yeah, sure, it was already going out, but you extinguished it immediately. Tanya, we learned it a bright time. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Rotze, Sheet Atzmo, Enav, Shalmeid, Nofech Lo, Iyayin, Mechot. If you do want to close a deceased person's eyes, what you do, you should blow wine into his nose. You should smell the wine, blow the wine into his nose, and then put oil by his eyelids, v'ochez b'shnei gudlov raglov, and then grab hold of his toes, v'hein ma'atzmin me'aleim. Right, and his eyes will start to close on their own. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, or tinok ben yomo chai, v'chal in lav et Shabbat. Right, a one day old living child. You're not to violate Shabbat for David Melech Israel mate in mechal in lav Shabbat. Right, and someone like David Melech. Right, if he's dead, you can't be mechal Shabbat for him. Meaning the most chashuv person in the world, the moment they're deceased, no chil Shabbos for them, and the most a person with absolutely no merits, right? A newborn child, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbat for them. Why is that the case? Tinok ben yomo chai mechal inav Shabbat amra Torah chal inav Shabbat achad k'deshish moshem to harbe. The reason you're allowed to desecrate Shabbat for a living child is if you desecrate Shabbat to save his life, this child is going to keep many Shabbatot. So if it's violating one for the sake of the of keeping many, that's clearly preferable. David Melech Israel met in mechal inav kivan shemet adam. Batel mina mitzvot, v'hainu dam Rabbi Yochanan, v'meitim chavshi, kivan she met adam, naseh chavshi mina mitzvot. But David Melech, once he died, there's no more keeping mitzvot for him, right? How could you break Shabbat in order how can you break Shabbat on David Melech's behalf? If he's already dead, he's never going to keep Shabbat again, in which case, when you do that math of, well, if I violate one Shabbat to facilitate multiple, that's legitimate, but if he's dead, he's not going to keep any more Shabbatot, right? He has no more mitzvot to perform, right? And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, that in death, you're free, because once you die, you're free from the mitzvot, you have no more responsibility towards mitzvot. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Tinok ben Yomo Chai Ein Sarach Hashemah Min Achuda Min Achbarim. But a one-day-old child, there's no need to protect him from. You don't protect him from weasels or rats. Because we'll get to the because in a second. But Og Melech Habashan met Tzarech Hashem Min Achuda Min Achbarim. However, if Og Melech Habashan, if Og dies, right, is a wicked person, if he dies, then you are mechalel, then you do protect him, sorry, from weasels and rats. Shneimar, u morachem chitechem yeh. Right? That any time someone is alive, so the other creatures will fear a person as long as they're alive. However, even the greatest gibor in the world dies, so he's not going to be protected from other creatures that are going to attack him. And only a living thing our creatures are afraid of. Amara Papa Naktinan Arye Abe Tre Lonafil. We hold that a lion does not attack two people. It goes to attack one person. Hakachazina Donafil. What do you mean? We've seen lions attack two people. Ahu Kidurami Bar Abba. No, that is in accordance with Rami Bar Abba's statement. The Amar Rabbi Bar Abba said, "Ein chaya sholetet ba'adam achenid melo kubehema." That an animal does not attack a person unless he believes that that person is an animal. When the person seems to be acting like an animal, so then the animal sees him as a threat and goes to attack him. However, if it's clear to the animal that it's a person, it's not second attack. Shenemar Adam Biker Bal Yalin Nimshal Kibehemot Nidmu. Right? And it says that someone who basically does not behave in an honorable way and basically acts like an animal, so the animals can attack him. Amar Rechanina, Asur Lishen Bebayit Yechidi, Vechol Shayashim Bebayit Yechidi, Achizato Lilit. And similarly, you're not allowed to, similarly with being attacked, that's the Heksher here, that's the relevance here, right? You can't sleep in a house alone. If you sleep in a house alone, you're susceptible to an attack from a demon Lilith. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Ose, Acheta, Motze, Umatsui, Lach, Vodech, Biyadech. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, you should do it as long as you do mitzvot, as long as you still have the opportunity, as long as you still have the money to do them, and as long as you still have control over your own actions. Vav Shlomo, Rabbi Chachmato, and even Shlomo makes a reference to this, Uzechor et Borecha, Bimei, Bachuratecha, Ad Asher, Lo, Yav, right? You should remember your creator in the days of your youth before the bad days come. Eli me'azikna, the bad days are a reference to the old days. Vehigiu shanim asher tomar inli bahem chefet, right? Eli mot Mashiach, and then you'll reach a time that you have no more, that you have no more interest or you can't do mitzvot anymore. That's imot Mashiach, shem ben lo zechud v'lo chova, which have no schar ve'onesh, has no reward or punishment. It just is what it is. And therefore, you should do mitzvot at a time that you can, because eventually you will not be able to. So whenever you can, remember your creator and do mitzvot in your youth. When you get older, it gets much more difficult. Upliga de Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, ein ben ma'olam hazeh l'imot ha-Mashiach, ela shi'ibud malchuyah bilvad. And that's clearly an argument on what Shmuel says about Yimot ha-Mashiach. Shmuel says, Yimot ha-Mashiach is going to be a normal period of time. The only difference is that there's going to be peace. But everything's going to function normally. Of course, there's going to be schar ve'onesh. Shenor ki lo yechdal evyon mekerav ha'aret. Right? As we know that poverty is never going to leave the land of Israel. So things will always be normal. There's not going to be this perfect existence time in the land of Israel or in the world, because there'll always be going to be poverty. You're telling me that a magical time where there are no problems, there's going to be still poverty. Rather, Yimot HaMashiach is still normal. The only difference is there's going to be peace there. You can't tell me there's no schar ve'onesh there. So clearly they have a machloket. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Kapar Omer, Lola mivakesh adam rachamim al midazo, she'im hu lo ba ba b'no, ve'im b'no lo ba ben b'no ba. Right? A person should always ask for mercy when it comes to poverty, because even if he's not poor, your son might be poor. And if your son's not poor, your grandson might be poor. So you should always ask for mercy. Shne'amar ki biglal hadavar hazeh. Right? Because it says, by poverty, biglal hadavar hazeh. Right, Tana Debe Rishmal Galgal Hushechozer Beolam. Right, and Biglal Hadavar Hazeh is reference to is kind of an allusion to the idea of a Galgal. Right, that the whole world is kind of a spinning wheel. Right, things get spun around. You're on top one moment, and you're at the bottom the next moment. Right, your luck can change, your fortune can change. Right, the rich can become poor, the poor can become rich. Rather, it's so fluctuating that you always need to be davening for mercy when it comes to finances. Amar of Yosef Naktinan Haytzur Merabanan Lo Mi Aini. Right? And great Torah scholars, they don't become poor. That's how we hold. But don't we see great Torah scholars who become poor? Yeah, inachinami. We see great Torah scholars who become poor, but they're not going to have to go knock on people's doors asking for money. Amar le Rabbi Chia l'debitu ki ate anya akdimu le rifta yehi de lagdimu levanaich. Right? So Rabbi Chia said to his wife that when a poor person comes, you should give him bread before he even has to ask. That way, that way, when everyone's luck changes, he's going to give your children bread before they have to ask, and they're not going to be embarrassed. Amrle, milatka leitlu? Are you cursing our children that they're going to be poor? Amrle, krakaktiv, ki biglal hadavar hazeh. Tam Rabbi Shmuel, el galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. He says, no, I'm not cursing them, but you should just know that it's biglal hadavar hazeh. Rabbi Shmuel interprets that as saying that poverty comes to those because the world is a spinning wheel, and everyone's fortune changes. So I'm not cursing them. I'm just saying it's likely going to happen. It may happen that your children or grandchildren are going to be poor. Tani Rabban Gamliel, Berebi Omer, Venatan Lecha, Rachamim, Verachamecha, Vihirbecha. Kulam Racham Labriot, Rachim, Rachmin Allah, Minashamayim, Kulshin Racham Labriot, Em Rachmin Allah, Minashamayim. Right? So Rabban Gamliel says in the name of Rebbe that you should give. If you give rachamim, then the rachamim will be increased towards you. Anyone who has rachamim towards other creations, he will get rachamim. He will have mercy as well. But anyone who does not have mercy on the other creations will not receive mercy. Ad asher lo techshach yishamer v'ha'or. Right. So furthermore, more psukim in Kohelet. More psukim in Kohelet that says before the sun, ad asher lo techshach, before it becomes dark. from the sun and from the light. That is padachat v'achotem. That is a reference to the forehead and the nose, right? Because the light is something that you see, and the forehead and the nose are very prominent features in a person's body. V'yareach zo neshama, right? And when in Kohelet he mentions the yareach, the moon, that's talking about the neshama, because the moon is hidden during the day, and the neshama is hidden in the body. V'akuchavim elu ha-lisatot. And when it comes to the stars, that is a reference to the cheeks. V'shavu ha-avim achar ha-geshem. And when it talks about the clouds returning after the, or the clouds going back after the rain, zome or enav shel adam, that is the light in a person's eyes, sheholech achar ha-bechi, which starts to deplete when he cries. Amar Shmuel ha-dim'ata ad arba'in shanin hadra mikan ve'elech lo hadra. As Shmuel says, that if you cry within the first 40 years of your life, if you're crying, right, then you're not damaging your eyesight. However, afterward, if you cry, you're likely to damage your eyesight slowly over time. This is just, we just started interpreting things from Kohelet because they had to do with old age, and now we're kind of just continuing the interpretations of Kohelet's psukim that relates to things that happen in old age. V'amar Rav Nachman, hay kuchla ad arba'in shanin mirvach, mikan ve'elech afilu male ke'ach sana de'gardai ukmi mokim arvuche lo mirvach, right? So, when it comes to putting ointment or makeup on your eyes, and up until you're 40 years old, it helps your eyesight, but afterward, you can put on as much makeup as you want. It's only ever going to, as thick as a weaver's rod, it says, but it'll only ever maintain your eyesight. It's never going to make it better like it used to. My kamashmalan dechama de alim mukha tfeimale. Right, and what are you teaching me by saying even if you put it on as thick as a weaver's rod? What is that? What did I think that was going to help me with? And we respond, it's to tell you that up until you're 40, the more you put on, the better it is for your eyesight. But afterward, it makes no difference. Rabbi Chanina shechivele barte lohavaka bachiale. Rabbi Chanina's daughter died and he didn't cry over her. Amar ledavitu, his wife said to him, Tanagota apik mibetach. What, did you kick out a chicken from your house? Meaning your daughter just died. Why are you not crying? Amar la tarti tachla. Ivra is what I want to have two reasons to mourn. I'm already mourning for one reason. If I start crying, my eyesight's going to start going, and I have two reasons to cry. There's two reasons to mourn. Savar la ki ha da amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Yosi ben Katzarta sheish demot hen shlosh yafot veshalosh raot. And he must hold, like Rabbi Yossi ben Katzarta, who says it's six type of tears. Three are beneficial and three are damaging. Shel ashan v'shel bechi v'shel beta kiseh raot. Right? Tears that are caused by smoke or by... or from crying, or from pain in the bathroom, those are damaging to your eyesight. Shel sam, v'shel schok, v'shel perot, yafot. But tears that emit when you're on drugs, or when you're laughing, or that come from very, very sharp fruits, when you cut them, those are good for your eyesight. Okay, we're gonna stop here.